Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And that means that you're not to be a person who cultivates that. You know, when you cultivate evil, it begins to fasten itself on you. I find it in my own self. I have to be careful that I don't get all critical about things politically to the point where it jades me. I can use the knowledge that I have about this generation we're living in and show people how Jesus is coming. And that untethers me from the ick factor of it all. I know Jesus is coming because I have a whole lot of Bible behind me saying this is exactly what it was going to be like when Jesus returned. And that's exciting. So all of a sudden, everything's flipped on its ear. Oh, Biden's building a wall over in California? What's that all about? I thought he wanted open borders, which is how he's been behaving. He shut down the whole thing as soon as he got in office. Why is he doing that? I don't know, but I have theories, but those theories don't mean anything. What really means something is Jesus is coming, and there's weird things going on. It's a day of deception, beloved. And that's exactly what the Bible said it would be. He's coming, and everywhere you look, you don't know who to trust. You don't know if to trust the preachers in your world. You don't know if to trust the doctors in your world. You don't know if you can trust the politicians. That ship sailed, I think, a little bit in recent days. All across the world, people are being vilified that are in the political arena because they've done some things in the past few years that have been odious to the population. He says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Don't be a liar. You ever heard that little thing kids came up with? You lie, you fry. Yeah, that's true. The Bible says outside of heaven are all liars. And so we see him saying, don't be a liar. Don't lie to people. Don't pick up the lie. Do you know what that means? That means when somebody tells you to tell this little girl that she's a little boy, you're lying. Stop it. Okay? Don't do it. And there have been a couple of good, lion-hearted individuals in schools that have said, I'm not going to tell that little girl she's a little boy. I'm going to call her by her name, and if you got to, you can't make me. I have freedom of speech, and that's one of the things about our Constitution it gives us. And he got all the way to the Supreme Court, and it vindicated him, and they got him to be able to keep his job, and reparations were to be made from the school, I think, that he got fired from. And I'm telling you, and recently, the Supreme Court talking about praying on the field after a ball game. A coach was fired for that. He got his job back, and he got vindicated. But that's only because we have a Constitution. Again, I don't want to go there in the full sense. I want you to know that's interesting. But what's most interesting is Jesus is coming. It's never been like this before. We've always tried to put a good face on it. You know, putting makeup on a pig. That's what we've done down here. We've looked at this world and we've said, this world is wonderful. Look how great it is. And we're talking about the world system. Here, what did John say? John told us that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And we've been loving the world, man. Got to get to that next thing. Got to do that next thing. It's so cool. We're like in an amusement park. The next ride, the next thrill, the next fun. But we're supposed to be doing our warfare. Living life. Loving life. Because you have life. Once you were dead in trespasses and sins, now you are alive. Now you can do some good. Now you can prosper the kingdom. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil. You've heard somebody talk about an inclination. This is an eclination. Okay? This is an incline, not incline. Turn away is what it means. It's the antithesis to inclination. It means to turn away. Turn away from evil. And do good. And the word do is poeo. It means workmanship. It's your work. Do good. Figure out a way to frame good, to make it beautiful, to make it poetic, to make it something of a subtle way of getting to somebody to be able to witness to them. Your job as a soldier is to stay at your post. There's coming a day when we're going to be in heaven, everlasting joy. It's going to be rest. There's going to be no sorrow, no parting, none of that. This is the time that you get a chance to glorify God. Now, we're on the ball of dirt. We are here, and we are able to do something for the kingdom of God. And when we walk by faith and do it, it is amplified manifoldly because God wants us to do it by faith. And our faith is not in a hope-so kind of a reality. We have a risen Savior. We have a Jesus who died on the cross because He loved life. He loved life. He'd lose sleep. He wouldn't eat. All he wanted to do was go. I know we can't rise to that level, but it's certainly a paradigm for us to follow. He says, be ye followers of me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He is the one who shows us what the battle looks like. It looks like doing good, like turning from evil and doing good. And the word good is a very interesting word when you parse it, because the word good actually has in its main idea of that which is honorable, that which is commendable, that which is kind of notorious in a positive way. You are able to frame some really good things in your life. You have talents and gifts. You have funds. You can do things. You can take vacations that go to a mission field rather than to, you know, a place you can sit on the beach and chill. And you can go there and you can stir your heart and you can stir up the missionary and encourage them too for a week. There are things you can do. Just choices. Incline toward that which is good. He says, let him eschew evil. Let him do good. Let him seek peace. Now, folks, that means something to a Christian. Seek peace. What's that mean? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're the children of God. Remember that? Peacemakers are not people who are like Henry Kissinger. I mean, he was the opposite of that. He was sort of an ambassador. He was supposed to have some kind of ability to kind of build bridges for other nations or whatever. But he's building them in a nefarious way, evidently. We come to learn it's worse than we ever thought. But my point is the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Did you see that? They shall be called. Now, who's calling them that? Other people, for one. Because if you're framing things, if you're poieoing things, if you're making a masterpiece out of how you're going to help people get saved, if you're building a bridge, if you're working out the way you're going to open your conversation, I actually ask people when I'm talking to them for a few minutes, like, hey, are you a church man? Especially if they're a kind soul, seems like. Because many times, kind souls are lost souls. They just aren't broken yet. They're just immoral, and they haven't got a lot of ick on them, so they think they're doing fine, but they need Jesus. And they might be ready to get saved, because nobody's ever told them, and somebody gets to tell them that day. Are you a church man? Yes, I'm a church man. Well, that's great. You know, going to church is important. I've got a follow-up. Going to church is important, but the most important thing is knowing for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Do you know 100% for sure you're going to heaven? When you die, sometimes they'll say, yes, I do. So I have another question for you. If you stood before God tonight, what would you say if He said to you, why should I let you in heaven? 9 times out of 10, they'll say, because I'm a good person. You know, I've tried to be a good person, help people out. I'm always, you know, I give money to the church. And I'm, you know, charitable. I give things. And they look at all this list that they've been given by humans, not by God. No, Christians are people who seek peace. And peacemakers are people who know Jesus. And they found peace, and they want to tell other people how they found peace. They are the ones who are seeking peace. They're looking for it in everybody around them. That's the hub. What do you seek? That's the question that I say Jesus posed to those who left John to follow Him. You might need to leave church to follow Jesus, okay? Because you, in your own sense, have a mission field, and you can use your mission field, and you'll want to have a church you can bring that person you got saved to. You have to have the big picture. Your framing doesn't end with just talking to them about Jesus. You need to have a place to get them to go. Come and listen, man. The Word of God is being preached. You know, when Andrew heard about Jesus, he says, come hear a man. Come see a man. He's got to be a Savior. When you hear the gospel being preached clearly, boldly, delightfully, it can make a difference in who you would take with you to that church. You'd say, man, I'm going to get them there. And so he says this. He says, seek peace. And that's what we should do. We should be seeking peace on a routine level. The rest of the world will call us peacemakers, but Jesus will call us peacemakers. God will call us peacemakers. The angels will be told, that's a peacemaker. Get his back. Because he's going to be telling people how to be saved. Pretty amazing stuff. It goes deep. It goes to the bone. It's the war. You say, I don't want to hear that part. I just want to hear the nice, nice. It is the nice, nice. It's the best. And when you're telling somebody about Jesus and you see lights going on all over the place, there's nothing that compares to that. The Bible says, let him eschew evil, do good. Let him seek peace. And listen to this. Ensue it. This word is elsewhere translated persecuted.
Don't give up on chasing it, running it down, finding peace. Run down peace. Go find it. Go look for it. It's like Jude said, you know, we're supposed to be looking for the mercy of God. Where is He at work? Enter into that. Jesus, at one point in John's Gospel, tells us that He would do nothing by His own volition, but what He sees the Father doing, that He does. And so He was able to see it, and you and I should be looking for it too. But if I don't know what I'm looking for, I'll never find it. What I'm looking for is souls, folks. That's what I'm looking for. You're looking at a preacher who is flawed. I wish I was a better preacher. I wish I was a better pastor. I wish I was a better all kinds of stuff. But what I do in my personal life when I'm not behind this desk is I'm looking for people to get saved. I don't see it like I used to. It was a lot easier years ago. But the reality is that's our mission. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, as long as you're a Christian, your job is to get somebody else to come to Christ. And if you haven't done that for a while, you need to go back and remember, His mercies are new. They're new for you, and they're new for the person around you that needs Jesus. And it's not a slam dunk. Sometimes it's a continuation. You have to build a relationship, build a rapport. This generation, we're not all about knocking on doors and a person opens the door and you say, "Hi, we were just visiting from the church. We were just wondering if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" You're like, "Oh! If I died today, do you know something I don't?" I heard about a guy. He was a doctor. He was getting his game down. He's like, "I got to get right with God and do this. I got to need a witness." So he thought he was going to talk to his first patient. He went in and he said, "Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" He might not have been the perfect person to do that, okay, because he's the doctor. Person's like, "Why?" He was just trying to start the conversation. But the reality is you and I need to frame it. We need to get ourselves geared toward it. If you are in any kind of hobby at all, you prepare for that. You say, "I'm going to get that better implement that I need for this. I'm going to get this better tool if I'm into my hobbies in my garage. If I'm into my hobbies on a court, I might say, I'm going to get a better pair of sneakers," or whatever. You're framing it, man. You're framing it. You're framing it. You're fighting for it. You're battling. You're saying, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to knock some strokes off my game. I'm going to hit more free throws," whatever you do. I can't tell you how much this means to me, that it would mean something to you. Because I got nothing else. That's all I got. Everything I preach, everything I teach, it leads one place. Years ago, I thought, "I'm going to go through the Bible and I'm going to look and I'm going to see if every book in the Bible talks about the gospel." And it does. There is a scarlet thread all the way through. God was always reaching to people. And He's still doing it today. Would to God we would do it more. You see, the pews don't fill themselves. We bring them. That's how it's done. And I know we're in a time of apostasy, so I've dealt with that. I don't get discouraged by that number thing anymore. What I'm looking for is just that we're all trying. I want us to all try. Win your kids first. Win your kids first. After you've won your kids, go get the rest of the world. But win your kids first. The Bible says, let him seek peace. Let him persecute it. Let him chase it down like it was his job. Why? Because it is his job. Persecute. Like Paul was on a mission to arrest everybody who was of the way before he got turned from Saul to Paul. He was on a mission to squelch out the church. Peter tells us now that he wants us to persecute just like that. Peace. We want to find people and give it to them. The Bible says why? Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, literally upon. It's epi, the Greek word epi. It's the word upon the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? When I was first saved, I asked the pastor who were the saints, and he didn't know right away. And that makes me understand that many times Christians don't understand who the righteous are. Well, the righteous are the pastors. The righteous are the really experienced pastors and evangelists, the Bible seminary teachers. They're the ones. They're the righteous. No. The righteous is everyone who names the name of Christ.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.